coming to you live-ish from the beautiful rolling hills of the Eastern Townships. You've tuned in to 88.9 CJMQ. I am your host, Matt McCray, and welcome to the show. Recapping a crazy NFL Week 3 that was, Saquon Barkley is out 6 to 8 weeks. Danny Dimes is the talk of the town in New York, New York. More MLB playoff races and teams clinch. The Rugby World Cup kicks off this week. We've got homecoming action coming up this weekend here in Lenoxville. Bishop's University Athletes of the Week, Kayla Kyle in women's soccer, Xavier Perron in men's lacrosse. All kinds of action coming to you on this edition of The Show.
I don't know about that, but exciting win, exciting finish there for us. I thought we showed a lot of fight, and we battled back after kind of creating a hole for ourselves there in the first half. So, like I said, exciting win, and look forward to building off of it.
Daniel, what did you see on that fourth down when the seemed like the middle just opened up?
Yeah, I mean that's just what I saw. Kind of, we. They're playing some kind of man and just kind of opened up there and saw the grass and took it. So, fun finish to it. Exciting, last drive and thought we did a good job, getting people open and good job protecting. It was a fun finish.
What was the plan for that? What was your read? Take us through the entire.
We were in a 3-by-1 set and just trying to, spread some guys out there to the left, and it kind of popped, like you said. I kind of just saw the crease in the middle and took it.
Was that a situation where you knew you might have an opportunity to run, or was that
not necessarily? You try to see those things if they're going to give you that space. You try to see it on any play, but I was just open.
Pat Gay's kick is no good! Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Look at Saquon.
He's looking to join the celebration.
Absolutely he is. Daniel Jones on the road. First game of his professional career. Ends up with 336 yards passing. Touchdown run to end. Again, the execution is fine. Matt Gay.
One more look at it. Can you believe the images we are watching in Tampa?
Welcome back. There you have some audio from what some people are considering the game of the weekend. Your New York Giants pulling off an upset victory against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Daniel Jones, a.k.a. Danny Dimes, is now the talk of the Big Apple. Eli Manning is done. The Eli Manning era is gone in New York, New York. I've never seen a fan base so excited when they lose their prime player. Saquon Barkley out 4 to 8 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks. It's a high ankle sprain. It's going to be 8 weeks. So, I mean, New York Giants fans are pumped. Let's just pump the brakes a little bit. They were playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Jameis Winston. They almost blew it. If it wasn't for Matt Gay, the kicker, shanking the kick to the right, Daniel Jones, it all would have been for naught. They would have lost anyways. When he did scramble in there in the play in the fourth quarter with a minute left, they left some time on the clock. I think a more football savvy and a more football confident team with a healthy running back, Jones maybe could have slid down and then they could have killed some more time off the clock and maybe take away Tampa Bay's last time out. But that's neither here nor there. Let's not take that away from the New York Giants fan base. They are very excited. What an exciting week three in NFL action we had this week. So just to review, the Patriots roll on. Antonio Brown is out. He's going back to school. He's out of the NFL. Let's hope we don't have to talk about him again. I will address the situation a little bit later on the show just to review the roller coaster ride that was. But this guy is just a pig, an animal, good riddance to bad rubbish. Tom Brady won't. We're kind of refusing to talk about it. We're going to hear a clip from Frosty Bill Belichick in just a bit later on in the show, and he does a cold death stare and walks off when even asked about Antonio Brown. Good riddance to bad rubbish again. So we got Rugby World Cup kicking off this week. All kinds of homecoming action. We talked about it on yesterday's show. We'll review it a little bit because there's lacrosse Thursday. All kinds of games underneath the lights on Friday night. And then the homecoming football game on Saturday at 2 p.m. So all kinds of fantastic, fantastic sports going on here in the Eastern Townships. Now, without further ado, let's get started and jump right in into our first segment, which is First and 10. Just to review the premise, I get the top 10 sports topics of the week. And I haven't seen them before. My producers hand me the envelope here. Open it up and you get my take directly off the top of my head. So without further ado, let's hop right in to First and 10. Number one, Danny Dimes. It's the Danny Dimes era in New York, baby. New York, New York. Big deal, little deal, no deal. I think it's a little deal. Everybody was really on the Giants for moving up in the draft. There wasn't a lot of talk about this Duke quarterback, Daniel Jones. But he proved he threw for over 300 yards. Like I said, the Giants pumped the brakes. They were playing the Bucs. But for a first game coming in, filling in for a two-time Super Bowl champion quarterback, Eli Manning, potentially a Hall of Famer. There's lots of talk of whether Eli will be making the Hall of Fame with his two Super Bowls. He's got a 500 record as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Some say that had something to do with the decision to hand over the reins to one Mr. Danny Dimes. But I like that nickname, Danny Dimes. I mean, the New York Giants, they haven't had a lot to cheer about since their second Super Bowl title upsetting the Patriots years and years ago. Eli Manning has been in a slow decline. Again, Saquon Barkley is out 4, 6, 8 weeks, high ankle sprain. That's really bad news for them. Their defense didn't look great yesterday, so again, let's not get excited. But the future is brighter. Now, the Danny Dimes is what the New York Giants saw in him on draft day, and the rest of the NFL seemed to miss out on. Number two, NFL Week 3 surprises. Okay, off the top of my head, the fact that San Francisco, the 49ers are 3-0. Steelers 0-3. Now, I know Roethlisberger out for the year has something to do with that, but I don't think anybody really predicted teams such as the 49ers coming out 3-0. Jimmy Garoppolo looks good. The Buffalo Bills are 3-0, although they'll be tested as the New England Patriots will be rolling in to see the Bills Mafia in Week 4. It's still early. Again, there's still time, but a slow start in the NFL can be the kiss of death once injuries set in. It's a long year. So good on San Francisco. Richard Sherman talking a whole lot more smack. He knows how to quarterback a defense, and their defense looks good. Offense looks good. Again, they're nothing. We're going to address this later, but the top tier, you have the New England Patriots are unaffected by Brown being out of the lineup. They should be more concerned about Julian Edelman leaving the game with an injury. Gordon has an injured digit. I think it's his thumb or a hand he's dealing with. But again, it's the Chiefs look good beating the Baltimore Ravens and what was supposed to be a stellar defense. Mahomes is just on another level. You got the Patriots, and those are essentially your top two teams. And then everybody else is just a good team. But player surprises, Lamar Jackson still looked good. The Chiefs' defense isn't fantastic, but that was a huge matchup, the matchup of Mahomes versus Jackson, and it did not disappoint. Gardner Minshew in Jacksonville, everyone's all about the Gardner with the mustache and the bandana and just a cool dude, looks like. Teddy Bridgewater played well for the Saints. Give credit to their coaching staff for getting Teddy Bridgewater and the Saints still keeping their head above water until Drew Brees comes back. And let's not forget about the Indianapolis Colts and Jacoby Brissett. He looks okay. They thought that can this continue? Will they be able to go on without Andrew Luck? And it looks like they may be able to. The Colts, they may be the real deal. So look for them to still maybe make the playoffs. Number three, speaking of playoffs, moving to baseball now. Yankees have clinched, Astros have clinched, other teams are wrapping up their divisions. Really, I mean, the wild card race is really what you need to pay attention to. There's in the National League, it's a little closer. You got the Indians in Tampa that are kind of neck and neck, both dealing with injuries. I'd like to see the Tampa Bay Rays come in. I've said it over and over on this program. We're talking Major League Baseball, you're talking the American League, you're talking Yankees and the Astros. Boston just kind of bowed out. I don't think the other teams in the American League will be able to have the depth in pitching and the hitting. All those home runs that Minnesota hit, I don't think it's going to pay off for playoff success. And again, the Indians, they've just had so many setbacks and injuries, losing Kluber in the year, all kinds of other players. Tampa Bay, just kind of a feel-good story. They're also kind of being chased by the Oakland A's, Billy Beane and their Moneyball squad. So there are some, the wild card action in the American League is heating up, but again, it's lambs to the slaughter, whoever makes it through to get these other two big juggernauts in the American League. Number four in the National League. Yeah, well, the Braves have clinched now. The Phillies and the Mets really don't look good. Both are six games out. This is as of a couple of days ago here. Nationals, Brewers dealing with the injury of Yelich. I mean, National League, it's I've said it over and over again, but the Dodgers are the class, the elite of the division. Everyone else is just kind of trying to keep their head above water and give them some competition. With the Dodgers, of course, representing the National League in the last two World Series, losing them both. Number five, the Canadian Olympic Committee, the COC, inducted the 2019 inductees into their Hall of Fame. Quebecois diver Alexander Despatie, Christian Girard, the weightlifter, diver Emilie Haymans, triathlete Simon Whitfield, judo coach Hiroshi Nakamura, women's 2010 Vancouver gold medal championship team. Remember that? Just an extension of that famous 22 Olympic hockey team led by Haley Wickenheiser.
Haley, have you ever seen any penalties in my life? I've never seen anything like it.
It was absolutely atrocious, but you know what? The Americans had our flag on their floor in the dressing room, and now I want to know if they want us to sign it.
I believe that was the flag on the ground, if they want us to go over there and sign it. The Haley Wickenheiser amazing speech at the end. The London 2012 soccer team, and Jack Poole and Randy Starkman in the builder and journalist category, in the builder category. So since 1949, the Canadian Olympic Committee has been inducted athletes into their Hall of Fame. 429 athletes, coaches, teams. It's for outstanding Olympic achievements and basically embodying Olympic values. So big congratulations to everybody on that list going into the Olympic Hall of Fame. I can remember Despatie was a big deal in the diving community. He had a couple of medals here and there, but he was slated as the number one world diver for a long time. Expected a little more from him, but wear a Speedo on national television in front of the world like that. Take some, Moving on, number six to the NHL now. Which Canadian team could potentially bring the Stanley Cup back home to Canada? For those of you that don't know, the Montreal Canadiens in 1993 were the last Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup. Dare I say it's going to be Montreal again? Yes, yes. I feel the excitement. It's palpable through the radio. Leafs fans out there may have something to say about that. Toronto looks good. Edmonton's a mess. Ottawa's a mess. Calgary, they're good. They've got flash in the pan, but they seem to lack some of the size and the depth in the Western Conference as some of the other teams. Vancouver's got some great budding superstars, but again, it always seems to be a rebuilding year ever since they've lost the Sedins. So I don't know. I say the hopes. Winnipeg has been falling apart. We addressed that in yesterday's show. Line A, Bufflin. I think it's the hope strongly rests on the shoulders of your Toronto Maple Leafs. Not your Toronto Maple Leafs. The Toronto Maple Leafs or your Montreal Canadiens. So hopefully Montreal can be able to do it. Number seven. Sticking with the Montreal Canadiens. Was trading Max Pacioretty the key to the Habs moving forward? I think so. Let's just have a brief look at this deal. So everyone talks about Pacioretty going to the Vegas Golden Knights. We got Thomas Tatar. Tatar last year put up 25 goals, 33 assists. Pacioretty had an injury-plagued season in Vegas and better line mates. Let's not pad those, his line mates were amazing. And Pacioretty only put up 22 goals, 18 assists. Not to forget, he did have 5 goals, 6 assists in the playoffs. And they had an early exit in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So that was pretty good. But the key to this deal not being only Thomas Tatar, but the talk of training camp, the talk is former 13th overall pick in 2017, 20-year-old Suzuki. He seems to be budding, seems to be growing. He got some experience in the World Juniors. So Montreal got the best of that deal, and that may be the thing that finally swung the pendulum in the right direction for the Montreal Canadiens. Let's hope these young kids can improve, build off their season of last year. You got Kotkaniemi, you got Poehling, Ryan Poehling. There you go. So, fingers crossed, even Mete at the point. I mean, let's hope the younger players get better. Number 8, best NFL nicknames of 2019. Okay, this is terrific. Danny Dimes, number 1, right off the top. Danny Dimes is great being in New York, the New York Giants finally being relevant again, aside from when Eli Manning is done. You got Steady Teddy Bridgewater. Steady Bridgewater? No? With the Saints? He looked good, being the highest paid backup in the league. Really seemed to be earning his keep there. Antonio Clown, that was trending on Twitter over the weekend. Everyone just finally sick of his actions. We got Hot Chubb Time Machine for Nick Chubb, the running back from the Browns. No? No? Josh Jacobs Jingleheimer Schmidt. No? Country Road Take Mahomes in honor of our final segment, Take Me Home. Guns N' Rosen, Shake It Goff, Hide and Zeke, Baby Got Dak. Anything? Crickets? No? Moving on. Number 9. Who is the best team on BU campus? Ooh, am I going to poke the bear here and the beehive? Have an announcement. I'm going to be, I got some media credentials. I'm going to be up in the booth for homecoming game on Saturday. And we have a major announcement that I'm going to save to the end of the show. A major announcement regarding Bishop's University football. But again, if anybody wants me to, sign their baby, taste their food, their chili, or some chicken wings at the tailgate, I will be meandering around to watch the Bishop's University Gators men's football team in action. 2:00 on Saturday. Just saying. Best team on campus. I mean, you got to shout out the men's rugby team. Men's rugby team is always one of the best. They always pose a great record. They're always in contention. Former coach Charlie Good was the Bill Belichick of that. It was the Patriot way, the Gator way, really setting the foundation. Of course, former coach Robson as well, having a lot to do with that and their success. Men's rugby, you got to put them on the top. You can't really forget about the men's lacrosse team as well. They're always in contention. They always... Are always up there and always the talk of the campus. Of course, we got the men's basketball team, the women's basketball team, the women's soccer team, men's football team, women's rugby team. Excuse me if I'm forgetting anybody else. But congratulations, everybody, having a good year thus far. And just a reminder, homecoming weekend, again, coming up this weekend. So anybody that wants to go out and support your Bishop's University Gators, all kinds of action starting Thursday night with lacrosse. Then Friday night, all kinds of action. Friday night lights. Under the lights of Coulter Field, and then Saturday afternoon, there is an amazing homecoming football game. Speaking of football, let's go back. Number 10. Can you recap what happened with Antonio Brown? Okay, hopefully for the last time I have to talk about this guy. I was happy for the Patriots football-wise to have such a talented wide receiver on the football field. He's talented, but off the football field, he's garbage. He's human garbage. Good riddance to bad rubbish. So he will not play in the NFL anymore. He just announced on Monday afternoon that he's going back to Central Michigan. It's an online course. It started last week, but apparently he's going to be jumping in. But you know what? Let's hit my music right now. It's number 10, but it's also my titanium take of the townships. So let's hit David Guetta and Sia and just do like a big merger of the two. I'm bulletproof. Nothing to lose. Far away, far away. Ricochet, you take your aim. Far away, far away. Shoot me down, but I won't fall. I am titanium. Oh, what a tune. So, today's titanium take of the townships, it's an Antonio Brown recap. Again, he's a despicable human being. All the charges and allegations that came against him, the New England Patriots, were generally unaware. Him and his agent were hiding this information from the teams that he was playing in. Pro athletes are supposed to be role models. He's the complete opposite of a role model, and clearly he needs help. Professional help. The people around Antonio Brown are failing him. His agent, his family, his friends, whoever he confides in, whoever he talks to. This guy could have made tons of money. Instead, he's maybe going to make under $200,000 this season. And it's not even about the money. It's these serious allegations. He's an awful teammate. He's all about me. He's the complete opposite of what a superstar is supposed to be. Guys like Tom Brady, you can look up to. Sidney Crosby, Dustin Pedroia for the Red Sox. LeBron James for the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, there's a certain amount of responsibility as a professional athlete. You're supposed to be a role model. You're supposed to prove what hard work will get you. You're supposed to play well with the team and try to achieve a goal by working together. I mean, there's the only teachable lesson that may come out of this is the fact that you don't want to be like this guy in any way, shape, or form. The Pittsburgh Steelers were happy to get rid of him. Tomlin, Roethlisberger, they knew what kind of guy he was. They knew what kind of problem he was. And when he didn't show up at the end of the season, when he was there last year, boom, out the door. We don't need you. We don't care how good you are. You're an awful person. So just to review what happened here, I've got a breakdown. So in July, he was placed on the non-football injury list. He was with the Raiders, signed with the Raiders in the offseason. He got frostbite to his feet in France in a cryogenic chamber by not putting on the proper footwear. He described it as being they had to circumcise his feet by the thick layer of burnt, crusted, frostbitten skin off the bottom of his feet. As a wide receiver, that's just awful. Your feet and your hands are your two most important thing. Moving on to August, he then misses training camp due to a helmet grievance because he says he can't see out of the helmet. So he's not taking part in practices. He's not taking part in preseason games. He's just being an awful teammate. September the 4th. Now he gets fined by the Raiders. He posts these fines on Instagram for missing practice, shows the world what Mike Mayock, the general manager of the Raiders, has sent him. They kind of get in each other's faces. There's a scuffle. There's a confrontation. He's alleged to push the general manager of the Raiders. September 4th. He's then released from the Raiders after the Instagram post goes viral. Everybody talks about it, talk about Mayock and the confrontation. Nobody's really saying anything. They cut him from the team. He's gone from the Oakland Raiders. September 8th, signs with New England. September 10th, former trainer comes out and accuses Brown of sexual assault. September 16th, Sports Illustrated reports a second incident. He plays one game while he's in New England against the Dolphins where they really didn't need him. He looks spectacular on the field. He opened up their first drive, catching the only three passes that were thrown in the drive that ended up going for a touchdown. He scored a touchdown with New England. Now they've released him. Now he's announced he's going just on Monday that he's going back to Central Michigan with an online course and will no longer tweet it out. He's no longer playing in the NFL. He's done with the NFL. I hope that's the last that we see of him. I won't talk about him anymore on the show. It is irrelevant. I don't care if he goes to the XFL, the AFL. Oh God, he better not come to the CFL. But unfortunately, talent generally reigns supreme. So we may see Brown again, unfortunately. So it was September 20th when he was released by the Patriots. On the 21st, he announced he was done with the NFL. So going into the season, he had $9 million guaranteed for this year. He may make under $200,000 now. If no team picks him up, none of the guaranteed money goes through. So again, good riddance to bad rubbish. We're going to take a musical break, and we're going to have a little a Sublime Counting Crows kind of like theme, a little throwback to that kind of era. So let's throw it to some Sublime with Santeria here on 88.9 CJMQ, The Cube. You're listening to The Show. But first, we close out the Titanium Take of the Townships. Hit my music. I'm bulletproof, nothing to lose. Far away, ricochet.
I ain't got no crystal ball. I had a
And we're back. Very exciting. That was the haka performed by the All Blacks of New Zealand. We got the Rugby World Cup starting this week, kicking off. Canada is going to be playing Italy, 3:30 a.m. I believe TSN is going to be covering all of those games. It's going to be playing over in Japan this year. Again, New Zealand is the toast of the town and the upper echelon, the elite of the elite. Then you got the Aussies. Americans are 13th. Canada is just ranked 21st going into this tournament. So if you like rugby and you love that sport, be sure to give it a try, give it a check. And we're going to be moving on to an amazing breaking news clip of a man who helped rescue children from a burning building in Philadelphia, but still had to take the time to take a shot at Aguilar and the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's jump to that clip right now here on 88.9 CJMQ. You're listening to The Show.
I seen a guy hanging out the window, you know, screaming at his kids was in there and things like that. So I ran to the back door, see if it was open, and it was. I ran upstairs, and then I was greeted with smoke. I ran back downstairs. By that time, the ladder truck was pulling up, and ironically, one of my old coworkers took the ladder off the truck, raised it up, and was assisting people down. My man just started throwing babies out the window. Wow. We was catching them, unlike Aguilar.
Yeah. Opportunities on balls. We're supposed to make plays, and it hurts. It really does. I mean, because we love, you know, this game, and we try really hard. We practice hard, and there's no excuses. We got to make plays.
We're the birthplace of the nation. We have the Liberty Bell, the Declaration of Independence. Philadelphians will identify that as part of their identity, but will also very much identify being a sports fan or being part of a sports culture is being part of their identity.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
I think it's part of almost a birthright of a Philadelphian.
When the Eagles play, nothing else matters in this town.
This city is wired for football because this city loves that game.
Philadelphia fans love football in a really dark and disturbing way. The national perception of the Philadelphia sports fan is that they are lunatics, almost pathologically negative. And I think it is a richly justified reputation.
If I walk into the Link or a couple of years ago the Vet and I'm wearing a Giant shirt or a Cowboy jersey, I don't expect bottles to be thrown at my head. I don't expect my life to be threatened. They are violent people, and I think the reason they're hated is because of the reputation they've built as sick, animalistic freaks that have a jail inside their stadium because they cause so much violence.
Live from Los Angeles, it's the 71st Emmys. Please welcome your host for this evening, Homer Simpson.
Thank you. Thank you. For those of you out there who are without hope, this has been my impossible dream. If it can happen to me, then you...
Doh!
Doh indeed. That was Homer J. Simpson at the Emmys that took place over the weekend as well. Some of the surprises in daytime TV shows. There's all kinds of talk now of the difference between Netflix streaming shows and to be on a show that's... televised nationally. Anyways, I was a little disappointed that Julie Louis-Dreyfus didn't win for Veep. Big fan of Veep. We got a new segment on the show this week. A lot of football pools are in action out there, and my favorite one has to be the Survivor Pool. Just the premise of this is you have to pick one team a week. That team has to win. There's no spread. And then once you pick that team, you can no longer pick them. All the way right up until week 8. And then once you lose, you're gone. So I'm going to do a Survivor Pool Pick of the Week. And with that, I mean, what do we need? We need Beyonce and we need Destiny's Child. Oh, I smell a new segment. I smell new intro music. Let's hit it.
I'm not gonna give up.
not bad. Destiny's Child, Child, Child. Okay, so my Survivor Pool pick of the week. And here's my pick for you. Just pick anybody who's playing the Dolphins. They're going to go 0-16 this year. So I'm going to pick the Chargers. Chargers are playing the Dolphins. What about when the Dolphins have a bye week, you say? That's when you save the big guns. That's when you save guys like the Patriots. Dallas Cowboys, I didn't mention them earlier. Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott looking fantastic. Their defense is great. That's the main thing, is a combination of defense and offense. Unless you're the Chiefs, who are just, they're offensively, you can score four touchdowns in a quarter. So those are the big three. So basically, Survivor Pool, pick of the week from Beyonce Knowles herself. Pick the San Diego Superchargers. I guess they're the Los Angeles Chargers now. I apologize. The Los Angeles Chargers, who are playing the Dolphins. Just pick anybody who's playing the Dolphins all the way through. If the Dolphins are on a bye week, then go to a team like Kansas City, Dallas, and or New England. And there's your Survivor Pool pick of the week. Sticking with football, I promised it earlier. I teased it before. Bill Belichick and the Death Stare press conference that took place over the weekend when asked about Antonio Brown.
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, what was the final straw with Antonio Brown?
Yeah, we're focused on the Jets today.
Thank you, Coach.
Welcome to another edition of Between Two Ferns, and my guest today is Matthew McConaughey.
Good to be here, Zach.
Of all the things you can win an Oscar for, how surprised are you that you won one for acting?
Here we go.
I noticed that you're wearing a shirt. Is everything okay?
And you have a major leak in here.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Let's see what's going on with these guys.
Dude, don't do that.
Well, they turned the sprinklers on.
You killed Matthew McConaughey.
He's dead?
He's brought back to life, but he was momentarily dead. You owe me.
Go across the country, get 10 more episodes of Between Two Ferns.
10, your dumb internet talk show, and you give me a network talk show. I'm a white man, and I'm straight, and I deserve it. Green as ever. Is the width off to you?
We're taking Between Two Ferns on the road.
My guest today is Benedict Cumberbatch. But... Benedict Benefit Lumberjacks.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
That's what it is. I read online that you're very private and declined to answer questions that make you feel uncomfortable. Is that true? And how old were you when you got your first period? Bradley Cooper co-wrote, directed, and starred in A Star Is Born.
I hear it's great.
Are you hoping that will open doors for other hot idiots?
I don't know if I'm gonna get these shows out. We don't have any money. We're hungry.
We're gonna order the clam strips.
How big are they?
Have you ever seen a chicken strip?
I've never seen a chicken wear clothes.
Here's to the crazy ones.
The misfits. And ding dongs.
I'm just curious about the pathology behind this.
Some people would say we're the crazy ones. But I think we're geniuses. Hello.
I love your show.
What if we take this upstairs?
What about John Legend?
He's probably at home polishing his EGOT.
Is that what he calls it?
Between Two Ferns, the movie.
Is this going to be it? Is it going to be in theaters?
Not in theaters. Not in theaters.
Pass me a bottle, Mr. Jones.
We got different reasons for that. Believe in me, cause I don't believe in anything. And I wanna be someone to believe, to believe, to believe. Yeah, Mr. Joe led me stumbling through the body of every step.
Welcome back to the show. We're coming in on the closing hours of yet another awesome, fun edition here of the show. Thank you for joining me here on the airwaves. You just heard Counting Crows, Mr. Jones, an oldie but a goodie. And before that was the hilarious clip of the new Netflix movie starring one Zach Galifianakis, Between Two Ferns. All kinds of great cameos, as you heard in there. John Hamm, Matthew McConaughey. The list goes on and on. Letterman is in there. Just a hilarious, hilarious show. So if you want to check that one out, that is on Netflix. So what I'm going to do is, we got all kinds of great local sports action going on. I know I mentioned it earlier. I'm just going to do a brief breakdown for you here. So on Thursday night, September 26th, at Coulter Field, 8:30 p.m. in men's lacrosse, your Bishop's University Gators are going to be taking on the McGill Redmen. Then moving into Friday in the afternoon in women's soccer, the Lady Gators are going to be taking on the Concordia Stingers. That's at 4:30 p.m. on Friday. As well in men's basketball, tipping off at 5 p.m. on Friday, the BU men are going to be taking on the Western Mustangs. And with action continue on in homecoming, men's rugby on Coulter Field, Friday Night Lights, 7 p.m. You're going to be taking on the Ottawa GGs. Women's hockey, we're going to be at McGill on Friday night in Montreal. Anybody in the Montreal city that wants to check that out, that's going to be at 7 p.m. Women's rugby, right back here in Lennoxville, 8:45. They're going to be the late show, underneath the lights, taking on the Montreal Carabins. As well, on Saturday, we're going to have some Lady Gators basketball action. They're going to be on the road in Toronto at 1 p.m. I'm sure you can find a stream or some kind of awesomeness if you want to follow along. Twitter, hashtag Gator Nation. They're on all social media platforms. You can follow along and see how they're doing. And as well, at 2 p.m., you're going to have the men's football team taking on the Acadia Axemen rolling in. So that's 2 p.m. kickoff. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in attendance. If you have some awesome chili or you have some great stuff, call me over. I'll try it out. I'm going to be the one. I got my press pass, my media credentials. Side note, I put in for some media credentials with the Montreal Canadiens. Let's just see if I hear back from them. But hey, you never know. I'm a member of the media. Speaking of which, I promised breaking news before. So let me hit the breaking news music. Cool. Okay, so the breaking news. So as I stated before, I'm going to be in attendance. I'm going to be up with my media credentials, observing some of the action on September 28th, Saturday, 2 p.m., as the Gators take on the Acadia Axemen. Their following game is October the 4th. They're on the road. They're at St. Francis Xavier, but they're back here at Coulter Field, Friday night, October 11th, 7 p.m., Friday Night Lights, taking on the SMU Huskies. That's the St. Mary's Huskies. And yours truly is going to be in the booth on the PA providing the vocal work, the play-by-play, the First Town Gators. One night only. I will be there in attendance. So if you like me on the radio and you want to see me live, maybe come say hi. I will be there. Friday Night Lights, Bishop's University style, here in Lenoxville. That's correct. So that's breaking news. Can I have that music again? And there you have it. Some breaking news, sports, Lenoxville style. Friday night, October 11th, 7 p.m. Yours truly will be in the booth on the PA system for the Bishop's University Gators men's football team. So we're coming to the twilight hours here. Again, have a great, happy, healthy, safe homecoming. Everybody be great, full of spirit, be safe. Let's be responsible. You know what that means. Let's just... You know, it's a beautiful town that we live in. Let's not destroy it. Let's enjoy it. And let's cheer on our Bishop's University Gators in all kinds of athletic competitions. So I've got a little surprise for you here. We got a few minutes left, as I can see, on the dial, on the clock. So I got a little, everyone knows here, my inspiration in sports broadcasting in general is all because of Daniel Theodore Patrick. Dan Patrick, who is the host of The Dan Patrick Show, a simulcast out of Milford, Connecticut. Course 16 years he was with ESPN, he was with CNN before that. He started a broadcasting program from Full Sail University where you can study broadcasting, and he's just a personal hero of mine. And on his show they often play a great Gary Miller clip when they were both at ESPN together, where Gary Miller's trying to do a breakdown of soccer. He's trying to do a soccer breakdown and he's not having a good time with it. He's having problems with the names. He can't even say FIFA governing body. He has trouble with it right out of the gate, and you can see he stumbles over the names. Dan has a nice little laugh at it. So just a little throwback clip there. And you know what? I'm gonna have an Eli Manning farewell. Danny Dimes is the new man with the plan in the Big Apple. Eli, not much time left holding a clipboard as a second stringer. If it wasn't for Eli Manning, Tom Brady would have 8 Super Bowl titles, folks. Let's not forget this. He played well in the playoffs. He had some gutsy wins for them. And it's just almost too bad the way that we've seen it go out. Peyton went out a little bit better. So we got a little throwback Peyton and Eli commercial back from when they were playing against each other. And, of course, the famous Super Bowl commercial with Odell Beckham Jr., who is now making news while playing for the Cleveland Browns. Very disappointing Monday Night Football loss for them. Sunday Night Football, apologies. Sunday Night Football loss they had, and they're starting 1-2, and all the hype in Cleveland might not be the real deal. But anyways, a little farewell clip to him, and I'll come back to say goodbye to you guys before we close it out with yet another sublime song here. So let's just throw it into Gary Miller, Dan Patrick Show, Soccer Breakdown, in 3, 2, 1.
And it's a soccer breakdown in 3, 2, 1.
Soccer breakdown in 3, 2, 1. FIFA soccer's governing body, 3, 2, 1. FIFA soccer's 3, 2, 1. The red card has become the calling card for this year's tournament. 7 ejections for 3, 2, 1. Witness Romania's Ian Bladiu against the Swiss is Ort. 3, 2, 1. Cameroon's Rigoberg Bananyag. 3, 2, 1. Cameroon's Rigoberg Bayangang Zang Za Da Da. Bayangang Song. 3, 2, 1. Cameroon's Rigoberg Banyang Zang. Bayan Yang Song. 3, 2, 1. 2. Get out of here. 2 is guilt through. 2. How long is this tape? 3, 2, 1. 1, 1. Cameroon's Rigoberg Banyan Song prevented a breakaway from Brazil's Babeto. God almighty, I hate soccer! Cameroon's Rigoberg Banyan Yang Song. I'm better try that one last time. 2, 1. Cameroon's Rigoberg Banyan Yong Song. I hate this. Chalk up Bolivia's Luis Cristaldo for both on 3-2-1. But the most notable red card of the tournament came when Italian goaltender Gianluca Pagliuca, the mother 3-2-1. But the flurry of red cards thus far has taught coaches and players alike to control their play if they'd like to control their fate in this tournament. Holy.
You gonna work on that thing?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's get it.
Now I have the time of my life.
And I owe it all to you.
So we take each other's hand, cause we seem to understand the urgency. Just remember, you're the one thing
I can't get enough.
Just let him dance.
This is why I love playing on Sunday night.
Yeah, we get to hang out, watch all the afternoon games on DirecTV.
You ready to go?
Let's do it.
Hey, don't forget your jacket.
Thanks. You put that chair under there, didn't you? I'm telling Dad. I am telling Dad.
Eli and the Giants take on Peyton and the Colts next Sunday night on NBC and watch every game every Sunday only on DirecTV.
Where's your brother?
I don't know.
And we're back. Just a little laugh, a little treat for you there here as we wrap up yet another show. So enjoy the Rugby World Cup, enjoy homecoming, enjoy the NFL is going to kick off. Week 4 kicks off Thursday night. We're right back at it again. So again, thank you for joining me here for yet another rip-roaring show. I have been your host, Matt McRae. Thank you for tuning your radio dial. If your radio still has dials, you've been a wonderful listener. Enjoy your homecoming. Get on there, cheer on the Gators, and hopefully I will see you around. I have been your host, Matt McRae. This has been the show. You're tuned in to 88.9 CJMQ. This is your place for sports talk in the townships.
The show.
I said, remember that love and love is what I got. And remember that love and love is what I got. I said, remember that love and love is what I got.
See, but we're done there.